Struggling to move your nonprofit forward? You've come to the right place. Welcome to the Nonprofit Architect, where we are giving you the actionable steps you need to launch and grow your nonprofit organization. Now, here's your host, Travis Johnson.
Do you feel your nonprofit's not getting enough in monthly recurring donations? If so, then you need sharing the credit. Every time you go into a business and swipe your debit or credit card, one of the fees taken out by Visa and MasterCard at the end of the month goes back into the system. Now, normally this is a bank, but it is legally allowed to go to a registered nonprofit. Sharing the Credit worked with a small local nonprofit. They took this information to their donor base, and 19 businesses started using Sharing the Credit. Now, this small local nonprofit receives $11,000 in monthly recurring, unrestricted, ongoing donations. This is the definition of sustainable funding. Businesses have to take plastic, so they might as well use part of those fees to support their favorite cause, your nonprofit. Check out my affiliate link in the show notes for Sharing the Credit. Book a call with Will Black and start your journey to more donations and better relationships today. Hey, welcome to the show. I'm here with Sam and Gina Mitchell, the executive director and president of Autism Rocks and Rolls. Sam is also the host of the podcast, Autism Rocks and Rolls. Gina is his mom, helping keep all the cats in order as they come and go. How are you doing today, Sam and Gina?
Hey, how y'all doing? Good to be here.
Doing well. Thank you for having us on.
I'm just excited to talk to you both. I know that Autism Rocks and Rolls really kind of blossomed out of the podcast that you had been doing, and Sam has autism and is a TEDx speaker. How was that as an experience speaking for TEDx?
That was kind of happened on the fly. We kind of got a couple of recommendations. So I think a couple of people pulled the plug for us, but I think it went well. I had to do it virtually, unfortunately, because of COVID, but I still got to do it. And it's kind of a big deal. And people still check it out. Some like it, some don't, but my talk.
That's good. That's great to hear. What do you want to share with us today about your nonprofit Autism Rocks and Rolls?
Well, I wanted to say that if you're thinking about it, you have to be very passionate about it. We started with $70 as a hobby, and it turned with over $1,000 into a business, into a corporation. Yeah. You don't own a big building like the Trump Tower, but we have a nice little house for our building.
I do have an office, so that's good. But yeah, that's what I was going to say is, you know, Sam started with a podcast when he was in high school, when he was a junior in high school. And he loved it. He really resonated with the media and the podcasting. So he said, Mom, he said, I want to start a podcast. So he did. And with the genuine story that he told, it really caught people's attention. And, you know, kind of fast forward to now, we've had lots of people say through his nonprofit and through his really hard work, we've had a lot of people say, you know, Sam is paving a path so that my son or my daughter can have one, you know, as far as breaking down the barriers and kind of taking that stigma away from autism, but also taking away the stigma of people on the spectrum can't be successful in the corporate world or creating nonprofits or just doing what they set out to do. And I think that's really what resonated with people. You know, when he decided what direction he was going to go, it made sense that it was autism. He lives it and knows all of the emotional side of that. And that seemed like the best thing to talk about if he was going to start a podcast and then eventually a nonprofit with advocacy work. So it made sense.
Oh, that's really cool. I know that most of the barriers that we have in society, we've created, we've made up, we've imagined things that are going to hold us back. I think it was Malcolm Gladwell that talked about the difference between successful CEOs and not successful CEOs. And there's a huge disproportionate number of CEOs that are very successful that have been diagnosed with dyslexia. And it's not that they're successful because they have dyslexia. It's because of how hard they had to work in order to learn the things they needed to learn to be successful. The amount of work that had to go in early is what really vaulted them to the top of the pyramid.
Sam, what does your life look like day to day, and what kind of experiences have you used to help build your nonprofit?
My life day to day is get involved with it every day. And lots of months we have board meetings once a month.
Yeah, he does something. I'm an educator. I'm a teacher. That's my first job. And Sam's first job right now, and really it's equal, but Sam is a college student and he's doing digital marketing, and eventually he'll do media, and he's doing a business administration right now too. So that's kind of what we're putting in the forefront. But, you know, of course the nonprofit is really our job too. But every day he does something, you know, whether it's, I do something every day. Some days are slower than others. Some days are easier than others.
Faster and harder than others.
Yeah. If he has a speaking event coming up, or we have an event as far as the gala goes, that, like, we just had a big event, eight months of every day coming home after my first job, and doing that was a lot of work.
I imagine it. Running nonprofits are hard for everybody. There is so much work that has to be done, so many things you have to do, so much administration, so much reaching out, so much fundraising, so much planning. And it's always the hardest when you're brand new. How long have you guys had your nonprofit?
We've had it at the state level probably close to a year, but we've been at the federal level for a couple of months. So we are pretty new at the federal level. And we do have a spectacular board. We love our board. We have a board of five, and they all have full-time jobs as well.
No.
Oh, well, one of them's retired.
And a family member.
Yeah. But then the other four do have full-time jobs. So, but the amount of work, you know, that they put in that, and the determination to make it go is incredible. They're incredible people.
What kind of advocacy work do you guys accomplish with Autism Rocks and Rolls?
Well, we've done a lot. Not lately, but we've done a lot in the past. We worked for Cast for Kids, helped out with that in August 14th of last year. And something else we did is I've spoken to the gala, obviously. I've spoken in Oklahoma, and I think another one. I helped out with a local wrestling show and got to have a booth for my merchandise.
Yeah, it's kind of started with a lot of local things. And the two main things that we work on is Sam speaking and getting up in front of people and telling his story. And having the nonprofit is really valuable for that, because we can do events, we can raise money, we donate that, you know, sometimes to big charities, sometimes to small charities. But then some of that money can go back into his business and allow him to travel to places and speak and to do events like the gala that we had. We hosted the gala. It was called Success for All and How We Get There. So having the nonprofit and having the events
gave us more opportunities than what a profit would give us, kind of.
Yeah. It allows him to do a lot of things, to spread his message that, you know, people with autism are successful, you know, and a lot of times, most of the time, autism doesn't hold them back. You know, autism is a spectrum. So you have people that are very high functioning like Sam, but then you also have people that are low functioning.
But the low functioning can do something.
But everybody.
Look at Oklahoma, not your average Joe's coffee shop.
Yeah. Yeah. We've seen stories of very low functioning.
Not Your Average Joe's. I love Not Your Average Joe's. They got one in Oklahoma City, one in Tulsa.
Yeah. They're incredible people. We met them at the last conference that we did. And, you mm-hmm. know, as a young man, Tyler, he has autism. His sister runs it, and all of the employees, I believe, have special needs, and it's incredible. It's incredible what they've become and the message that they're sending as well. So, and I believe they're a nonprofit. So
they are. That's Tyler and Maggie Bond, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I met, I was hosting the Miss Oklahoma pageant, Miss Crossroads Oklahoma, and Maggie actually went there, and I got to meet her after I was done emceeing, and she told me all about Not Your Average Joe's. I love those guys.
We met Maggie.
Yeah, she had on her crown, and she had her sash, and Sam thought she was very pretty.
She is very pretty.
Fell in love with her. She's very pretty.
See, now I'm going to send this episode to Maggie so she can hear us talking about her.
Go ahead. I don't care. I have no shame. I'll tell you, you're pretty straight up.
That's what I like about you, Sam. You're real. So what's your favorite part about public speaking? And why do you think it's so important?
You're going to laugh at this answer too. The attention.
Great. That's why we started it, because for the attention.
No, not at all. But you know, it's really what it is, the attention, the someone actually hearing me out. You know, there's, I know that there's a funny side, like, yeah, I get all those. Woo-hoo. Right. But there's a serious side to it that people are hearing it out.
Yeah. I think Sam has told me several times, you know, when he was in elementary school, middle school, high school, he wasn't heard. I always listened. Obviously, his family, I mean, we love Sam and we think Sam's perfect. But as far as his peers, people just wouldn't take the time to understand what autism was and to understand Sam. And just because, I mean, I teach middle school. I know how they are. That's, if they're not comfortable with you, they don't give you a chance. And so that's just how that age group is. So he felt like he was never heard. Until he started the podcast and started his mission.
And now speaking gigs.
And speaking. And so, yeah, I understand what you're saying. People are listening, and he has never felt like they did. So it's a change for him.
Yeah, it's not just listening, right? It's the fact it feels like they don't care when they're not listening. They don't care about you, like you're not important. And it's crazy. It's crazy that, you know, almost everyone on the planet at some point in time feels the exact same way. There's so much going on in everyone's day-to-day lives that is tough. But one of the favorite thing Americans say is they're busy. They love being busy and saying they're busy and talking about how busy they are. But when we're all that busy, we don't have hardly time to think, time to let, we don't have the space or the capacity to let people into our worlds, whether they're high functioning or otherwise. And it's just so, it's kind of heartbreaking in a way that even the average person deals with the exact same thing, not just people with differences on a spectrum.
Right. I, for one, really like to be non-busy sometimes. I mean,
yeah. I can't. I feel like I have to do something.
He does. But as the older I get, because we're very busy too. I mean, I have a full-time job, but sometimes just sitting on the couch and just be, that's what, you know, a human being needs sometimes.
I have ADHD. I remember, so I can't sit still.
Yeah.
Or lay still, may I add.
Yeah, he has a hard time.
Yeah, I can definitely understand that. There's always something pulling our attention. I'm on your website right now, and I see all the stuff in the background and all the different logos and things you have. And like, it's designed to draw your attention away from what you're trying to do, what you're trying to accomplish, who we're trying to be. And there's always something out there willing, or the people are paying for, right, your attention as much as possible. But this wouldn't have become a reality if you weren't really passionate about what it is that you do. So how is it that you were able to corral all your passion and put it towards a project of this magnitude?
I would say the reason is I just believed in it, and I had a support team, and if I had the support I need, I think I can get behind it myself.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, even before he started the podcast, I feel like that everything that came out on the podcast is what we all believed anyway. You know, Sam has autism. He was diagnosed when he was 4. But I saw the stuff. We always concentrated on what Sam, you know, could do. And if he needed to improve something, then like with any parent, you know, we would help him, you know, to improve that. I'm a pretty out of the box thinker just in general. So when he would think of things, I didn't shoot a lot down. The golden rule in our house is you are not to be disrespectful, because that is a non-negotiable. And, you know, if somebody was going to get hurt or Sam was going to get hurt, then that wasn't acceptable. You know, that those were really the two main things. But some of these other out of the box ideas that Sam had, I never stood in his way. Because, you know, my mom and dad didn't stand in my way. So that was one thing when he said, I want to do a podcast. Hey, let's make this a nonprofit. It was, okay, let's see if we can get the world to see what we're trying to say. And so far, some people are listening.
Lots of people.
Yeah, lots of people are listening. And that's awesome. That's, you know, we truly believe that everybody, there's success in everything. There is success and it's in the eye of the beholder. It's not, you know, society says you have to be successful. You, you know, you graduate from high school, you drive when you're 16, or you get married, you have the picket fence and you have a dog. And that is not it. That is not necessarily success. You know, success could be a 35-year-old getting their first apartment, because that's success to them.
Or a 50-year-old getting the mail every day.
Yeah. Somebody that gets up and goes and is able to walk down the driveway or walk to the mailbox. And so I think that we have to, instead of focusing on what that person can't do, why are we not, you know, lifting them up and concentrating on what they can do? That's what society needs to do. And it wouldn't solve all the world's problems, but it would solve some. Some would get solved if we would look at the positive of what people are doing.
Yeah. Yeah. The media wants to show you all the terrible things about humanity. I get to spend a year in the Middle East, and I like to ask people what they thought about our president at the time and then what they heard about news in America. And it turns out it works both ways. Only bad news makes it overseas. So all they saw from America was the worst things that happened here. Not all the great things that we're doing, not all the ways that we're coming together, not all the ways that we're working together, not all the ways that we're working in nonprofits to solve larger problems in our communities and in our world. They don't see any of that. All they see is whatever the terrible headline is of the day.
Right.
It's very interesting. And almost every country in the world cares about American news, but Americans don't even care about American news, let alone any other country.
Exactly. That, you know, I always call Sam through
the best in the world. Oh, go ahead. Continue.
Well, you know, yeah, you just got to look at who your mom is. So I don't know. Just kidding.
I know. I am too.
But I was just going to say, the people that, you know, Sam knows other podcasters, Sam knows other people that have nonprofits. And at the end of the day, we're all on the same mission, the mission to make humanity just a little bit better.
Yeah. So why can't we all get along?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the biggest thing with our mission for our nonprofit is those on the spectrum can be successful. We just have to find it. Just have to recognize it and find it.
Yeah, absolutely. And success looks different for everybody. How do you measure success? You know, the person that's a millionaire, he's trying to be a decamillionaire. And if you only have a $2 million project, is he going to think it's worth his time? You give that to the average American who makes 40 grand a year and they're like, $2 million, I'll do dang near anything to get that done, because they're willing to dedicate the time, energy, and effort it takes to do a project like that.
Well, in my definition, there's no rich or poor. There isn't. There may be millionaires and billionaires, but there's no rich or poor.
Yeah. I mean, monetary wise, there is, but it just depends on how you, like you said, how you define success. I mean, is it always associated with money? No.
Well, broke and poor, the difference between broke and poor is mindset. Broke is a bank account number and poor is a mindset. I might be broke, but I've never been poor.
Right.
So Sam, what's the coolest place you've gotten to go speak? What's your favorite so far?
Only Oklahoma, because that's a big one I've done.
Well, he's had several.
I'm getting some booked, though. Ask me probably after September, and I'll give you an answer.
He has several booked. The Oklahoma one really opened up the doors for him. He's got Orlando in Canada next month, and then we've got a couple of local ones, and then potentially Dallas, Texas in August, and Indianapolis in September. We're really looking. He gets to speak with Dr. Temple Grandin next month, and we're over the moon. She's become a really awesome mentor to Sam.
No, an awesome friend.
And an awesome friend. So we're really excited about that.
I'm not really familiar with her. What is it that she does?
Someone's probably gonna give her spiel in a minute, aren't you?
Oh, I am a huge fan of Dr. Grandin. Even before she has become our friend, she's changed the whole agricultural world. She has autism. She's a professor of animal science in Colorado, at Colorado State University. And basically she changed the way that slaughterhouses and cattle handling facilities handles the cattle. And so once she drew exactly what needed to be done, you know, there were less injuries to humans, there was less injuries to animals, and it changed the whole agricultural farming world. And, you know, she was able to accomplish that because she has autism. That is how her brain, she's a visual thinker. She thinks in pictures. And so she was able to do that. And she's one of the most sought after, well-renowned speakers in the world. And she's just has a lot to share and makes a lot of sense. So you'll have to look her up. There's a movie about her called Temple Grandin. And she just spoke at our event over the weekend virtually. And that was really exciting. And we get to eat dinner with her next month. And we're over the moon because she's incredible.
Well, I know you are, but like, who's Sam's hero?
Mick Foley. I like her though too.
Oh, you like me?
No, I like her.
Oh, I thought you meant me.
No, he doesn't like you, Mom. He likes her.
Yeah, he likes her. Okay, I'm not. Well, tell him why you like Mick Foley so well.
He has a solar spectrum, A, but B, he also takes these crazy bumps and people call him an idiot for it. I call it a sense of adventure because that's what he needed to do in order to make it. Because you guys got like The Rock, Triple H, they're bodybuilders. He's not a bodybuilder. He's just an average daily Joe. And he just lives like anyone else. Instead of going to the bars like any other wrestler, like Flair would probably do. He was so humble, decided to do a lot more reading, visit a lot of museums and battlefields. I think he even drove a car.
Yeah, he's the most humble, really.
Basically lived like us.
Yeah, he's the most humble celebrity I've ever seen. I mean, he drives a minivan. He's always driven a minivan. He
slept on the couch once. I remember at a hotel. He didn't get a room, and he looked like a homeless person. It was funny, but he did do that.
Well, and he was so willing to, you know, when we asked if Sam, he would be on Sam's show, he was just didn't hesitate. He wanted to do that. And he has a son on the spectrum who's 20. And so, but he's an incredible human being.
And a good dad.
Like outside of wrestling, outside of the celebrity status, he's just a good human. He's just a good human being.
We need a lot more of those, right? Good human beings, people that spend their time being human.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So what's next for Autism Rocks and Rolls?
What's next is board meetings, a lot of events, honestly.
Yeah. Well, we are recouping from our event on Saturday because we had about 400 people came to the event, and we had a really big silent auction. So that was incredible. We had food trucks, we had autism exhibitors, vendors, and then we had, you know, it was a gala. So the room looked beautiful, and I spoke and Sam spoke and then Dr. Grandin spoke. So it was about eight months of pretty hardcore planning. And so we pulled it off, we did it. And now we're just like, okay, just to take a breath. A lot of speaking events for Sam. And we have some local events that we're kind of putting together. And we're already thinking about our next gala.
You are.
You might not be, but I am.
I'm thinking about a disability fair and I like your 5K run idea.
Yeah.
I thought of it more and I thought, you know what? It's actually not a bad idea.
The 5K run. Yeah, we're thinking about putting together a 5K run in like a local town that we have. And then Sam has a really good idea about not so much of a conference, but more of a disability fair to highlight the successes of those on the spectrum.
I have some ideas how I want to do that.
Yeah. So our wheels are turning for sure. They're always turning.
It sounds like it. What do you plan to do in your free time when you're down in Orlando?
Well, we're not going to have free time. I am trying to get her to go to take me, if it's close. I'm not saying if it's like an hour, we're not doing it. Believe me, I don't want to do it.
To Universal. We can probably do that.
You just said you went, though.
We're going to be working during the day. But yeah, I'm going to probably do a lot of pool time. I'm going to be, if we can get to the beach, I'm going to do that. So
Orlando's in the middle of the state. There's no beach.
Isn't it like an hour away? Isn't there an hour?
That's an hour each way. That's 2 hours you could be at Universal. Come on, Mom.
Maybe.
See, maybe. Here's the deal.
And which side? Are you going to go the Atlantic side? Or are you going to go to the Gulf side?
Or Disneyland. I wouldn't mind going to Disneyland. I know Dad wants to go to Dad.
This is a business working
but thing. Hey, if you can have a little bit of fun, why not have a little fun when you're on a business trip?
That's true. We'll find something fun to do. Maybe he'll go do something and I'll just read my book at the pool. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Okay, but you're getting me, but you can drop me off at Disneyland or Universal.
Well, you got like Disneyland, you've got Universal, you've got Harry Potter World, you've got Star Wars, you've got some things to see in Orlando.
A lot of options.
Yeah, a lot of options. Where are you going to speak at in Canada?
It's called ACET. I don't know what, do you know what?
It's a assistive special education technology conference, and it's on the
Canadian side by Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been to the Canadian side of Niagara Falls. Do you know you can actually go on a tour and walk underneath and behind the falls from the Canadian side?
Oh, you want to go have some fun?
No, we don't get we're only there for like 2.5 days, but just to be able to see it from that point is going to be incredible. So we're very excited.
Yeah, at night they have lights that shine on the falls, and on the Canadian side, it's a Canadian flag, and on the American side, it's an American flag.
Yeah, we fly into, I want to say, the Buffalo International Airport, and I think my cousin said to maybe utilize the Rainbow Bridge to go over that way and then just catch an Uber and, you know, go to where we need to go. So since they lifted a lot of their restrictions, I think it will be a lot easier. The process.
Do you know that, are you guys Buffalo Wings fans? The original Buffalo Wings are at Anchor Bar in Buffalo, New York.
Okay.
Well, yeah, it's New York. I know it's New York's capital. Buffalo Wings are New York's state food.
So you've done the research. Yeah.
Oh, he's well versed in Buffalo Wings.
He loves wings. That's his, anytime we travel, like my husband and him, and we have to seek out the best.
Yeah, for one trip, we went to Virginia for her birthday. I took her to the Poe Museum. She loves Edgar Allan Poe. She's a big fan of her. I decided to have Buffalo Wings for every meal. And yeah, that's not exaggerating.
He did.
Those are what we call hashtag life goals, having Buffalo Wings for every meal.
He did it. I was like, are you serious? And
I'm a man of my word. I say I'm going to do something. How often does it happen?
Usually it does. I will say he did sign his, how many autographs did you sign?
You gave him ideas, I think.
Well, in my speech, I said, well, he's not signed any autographs yet, but never say never. And I think he ended up signing like 6 that night. He signed like a painting and he signed the shirts, and it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool to witness.
So what's more fun, public speaking or having a podcast?
Ooh, there, it's equal.
Oh,
it's equal.
What if you have to pick?
I can't. I'm sorry.
I'm your mom. I'm telling you, you have to.
Well, you're not my boss anymore. I'm 18. I'm over 18. Sorry.
Hey.
I am my own person. I can decide for myself.
See?
He doesn't have a house. It's my house.
So. I know, but I still make decisions on my own.
That's true. I'm just giving you a hard time.
If I'm gonna play video games, I'm gonna play some video games.
So if you had to pick though, it's totally equal.
Yeah, it's totally
equal. Okay.
I'm sorry.
I tell you what, I'm a huge fan of podcasting, but I love being in front of a crowd. With podcasting though, I can just kind of roll over out of bed right on camera and be like, I can record. Conferences or public speaking, you have to like get up and go somewhere and prepare, and you're going to be backstage and passes, and like, it's a lot of work speaking at conferences.
Well, and it's, I'll tell you, when he started doing this, you know, when veteran speakers would say, now this is how much you have to charge, you know, this to make it really worth your while.
That's what you have to do.
And I just kept thinking, oh my gosh, that's an incredible amount. I just don't feel comfortable charging that. But then once we traveled a couple of times, you know, we're gone for like 3 or 4 days. I totally understand why, because it's exhausting. I mean, you know, your flights get delayed and then maybe the Uber doesn't come. And then, I mean, it's a lot of work. And so I totally get why people charge what they do.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that charge speaking fees plus travel fees plus incidentals plus meals. I can completely understand that. And depending on what part of the country or what part of the world you're going to, some of that stuff is just astronomical. Like if I'm going to Dubai, I got to stay at the Burj Al Arab, the world's only 7-star hotel. It's going to be 14 grand a night, but I'm okay with you paying for that, you know?
Right, right, right. And we've talked to Temple Grandin a lot about that. And, you know, because she travels constantly, I think she's slowing down a little bit because she is
She's old. That's the nicest way to put it.
She's in her 60s, so not that old. She definitely is slowing down, but she gave us a lot of tips, you know, like this is something you need to think about. And she's very well versed in, you know, traveling efficiently and what you should ask for.
Yeah. And she's brutally honest with you. She'll tell you how it is.
She will. That's why I love her.
Isn't it interesting? There's so many people out there that are scared to say something because they're not sure how someone might react or worried about their feelings. And you're like, oh yeah, slam me with the 2x4. Give it to me real. I want to know what it is that is going on here. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to dance around it. Just tell me.
I'm like, you can give me the 2x4, but I'm also afraid that I'll say the wrong thing to the wrong person at the wrong time.
Well, I think that's just part of being on the spectrum, you know, from what I've seen, working with people on the spectrum and talking people and, you know, raising a child with autism. It's just what autism is. It's, you know, with a typical brain, or I don't even like to say that, or with someone else's brain or whoever, you know, a non-autistic person, they can figure out social cues. You know, I can look at somebody and I can think they're really upset right now and they're not even talking. It's just the way that they're moving their body or their facial expressions. But there's that social cues, that the social issues that people on the spectrum often lack. And so when he says, I'm afraid I'm going to say something that I shouldn't, you know, it's happened. It's happened several times.
And I got in trouble for it.
Or not really in trouble, but we've had to say, like, I understand that that's what was on your mind and you can speak your mind. But in order to exist and to function in society, you do have to think twice sometimes. You don't have to walk on eggshells, but
that's what it is. It's either eggshells or not a walk eggshells. There's no middle, buddy.
Right.
Well, there is a middle, right? You can decide if the thing that you're going to say is going to have the desired effect, right? If someone is in the grocery store with their kids and the kids are screaming and going crazy, someone can walk up and say, like, geez, lady, you can't control your kids. They're going all over the place. What the heck? She knows this already, right? Or he could walk up and say, he's like, you know, I remember being a young parent, just how hard it is to do something as simple as grocery shopping. I really understand where you're coming from, and I know how hard it is. You got your point across either way, but one makes them feel worse and one makes them feel better. They feel heard, acknowledged, understood without saying, hey, your kids are going crazy.
Right.
So really it's, in the military, you would call it firing for effect. Yeah, you can blow up a building, but what is the building? What's the purpose of blowing up that building? Is it going to have the effect that you want it to have?
Yeah, it's like you can say it, but it's how you say it.
That's not a middle, though. Still, it's that. It's the harsh way or the nice way.
Well, that's what he's saying. Oh, you mean it's either that way?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess how you look.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. What is an aspect of autism that you experience that is better in you than it is in other people?
Oh, the creativity side of me. I can definitely be a lot more out of the box thinker, and sometimes I think more than her. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
Thank you. But I would say that's what is creativity. And when an idea turns, it has to be done.
Well, I think a lot of, from what we have seen too, a lot of people that are on the spectrum too are very creative thinkers and sometimes logical thinkers at the same time. So you have, you know, people in history that based on, you know, their behavior, based on what people know now, you have these musical geniuses that probably had autism. You have most people that work in Silicon Valley, they probably have autism because that is how their brain works. They want to create something, you know, they want to see it from the beginning to the end. And that's kind of something else with even nonprofits and employment. A lot of times employers are really, they don't want to hire people on the spectrum. But what we want employers to understand is they're missing out. And that population needs to be tapped into because people on the spectrum, they're punctual.
Reliable.
They're reliable. They don't want to mess up. I think for a long time and still probably today, Amazon, they were hiring people on the spectrum because they were noticing with like data entry and things like that, they were not messing up. And
yeah,
but I think that employers sometimes don't have the training or they don't understand, you know, how to give accommodations to somebody that needs it. So that's kind of disheartening sometimes.
I can definitely understand that. The military is with you full on as long as you can do what they need you to do. But the moment you can't do what they need you to do, it changes. For the employer situation, like I think like the comment that popped into my head immediately is like, I understand you would rather hire someone average instead of extraordinary. Please tell me why you prefer an average individual. And they'll be, what do you mean, average individual?
Exactly. That is, you know, and I think it's getting better. I think things are opening up and people are understanding more. But I think that Sam and these people that are kind of doing the same thing, I call them mountain movers. They're moving mountains and they're knocking down barriers and they're helping the world see employers and just people in general. So things are good, but can be better.
Yeah, I definitely would agree with that. What piece of advice would you have to someone interested in getting into the nonprofit world?
My advice is if you're passionate for it, even if it's the same, go for it. But if it is something similar to you, you got to make it your own and find a twist. You got the same Starbucks companies, Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts. There's something special about each one. Starbucks, I think, has just cake pops and sandwiches, but I can still, or if you want a donut and coffee, there's Dunkin' Donuts. They just have donuts. I know it's kind of a crazy one, but it's just business.
Well, they kind of do their own thing. Like when Sam was trying to think of a title for his podcast, which seems so long ago, but it really wasn't. But, you know, he got online and he made sure that he didn't really see autism. Now, we saw autism rock and roll. And he said, I'm not going to do that. We saw autism rocks. We saw other things. And he said, Mom, there isn't an autism rocks and rolls. And he combined it with his love of music. You know, he loved rock and roll music. And so another thing that I think Sam did too, like he said, you have to make it your own. Sam, when he started, he thought of all of these acronyms. He thinks in abbreviations sometimes. And he thought in his mind, he listened to other autism podcasts. And nobody that he saw had like the three categories that he wanted. You know, he doesn't just do interviews. He does interviews. But he also talks about behaviors that he has experienced. And so maybe somebody on the spectrum that's listening, he can help them.
Right. And some, you know, do, but they don't do it the way I do.
Yeah. Or he started telling about the analogies.
Yeah. I'll do analogies sometimes to autism, whatever I think stands out to me that is very similar to autism, such as a pinball machine, such as rock and roll music itself, or something that I like to do, such as watch Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. When he would come, now I just trust him. I don't even question it, but he would come to me and he'll say, Mom, in this episode, I'm going to compare autism to a pinball machine. And I thought, what are we doing? Like, we just interviewed Dr. Temple Grandin.
No, it was before Grandin.
Or something like that. Like, we just did this and you're going to this. But it was genius.
And then I said, trust me. And would you trust me? And then look what happens.
Yeah. I mean, it really is this thinking outside the box. And if you're going to start any kind of nonprofit, you do have to. Maybe not be the only one, but it has to be you. And it has to be very unique to what you want to happen.
Yeah, I like that. You're a big fan of rock and roll. Who is on your I need to get this interview done? Who do you want to interview in the rock and roll world?
Did one, James Durbin.
Well, that's not like big though. But well, that was pretty he's cool. Pretty big though at the same time. He's not big, big.
He interviewed James Durbin from American Idol. He has Tourette's and autism, and he still produces music.
Yeah. It's a hard one. I don't know that music. Why? I guess we can go for one dad likes. Paul Stanley. Yeah.
Yeah. He has.
He's in Kiss.
But he has depression. Is that right?
Yeah. Some and a facial. Something wrong. Something's up with his ear.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Alice Cooper.
Yeah. Maybe I'll send Alice Cooper your way, tag him on Twitter, so he'll feel like we're doing an interview for you.
Oh my God,
by all means.
That would be incredible.
that's probably one of my favorite things about Twitter is you can reach directly out to people because they're available. They're available.
Or instead of Facebook Messenger, we need to use Twitter.
I use it quite a bit. I know. I've used it. Oh, God, if you could do that, that would be...
But did you hear me, though?
That'd be incredible.
When I get celebrities, sometimes I use Facebook Messenger.
But with Twitter,
but yeah. I might start using Twitter for that.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Because let me ask you, from your personal experience, if you... I don't know if you ever get celebrities or ever talk to them, but would you rather use Facebook Messenger or Twitter?
I've talked to Ricky Gervais on Twitter. I've had Steve Sims. I got him through Facebook. And I talked to Bob Berg through LinkedIn. Wherever you can find them, if they're willing to message you back, like Steve Sims, he does amazing work with millionaires and billionaires, and he says yes to every interview possible.
I don't know who that is. Who is it?
He wrote Blue Fishing, The Art of Getting Things Done. He also hosts Sir Elton John's red carpet Oscar party every year, and he does amazing things in business.
Hey, Elton John, someone for you. Epilepsy.
Yeah, that would be good. Well, who we're trying to get to, well, you know, we're already thinking about the gala. I was thinking of, you know, when you have your first annual gala and you start with the speaker of Dr. Temple Grandin, it's kind of hard to follow that because of how, you know, of her influence in the autism world. But I know we have been trying for 3 years now to talk to Dan Aykroyd because he has autism. Anthony Hopkins is another person that I have tried. I have gone on every, I just emailed on Instagram today, Anthony Hopkins. I just did that today and asked if he would potentially be on Sam's show and maybe even, you know, travel next year and come and be our speaker. So those are my two. I think another one that Sam, you have talked about is Eminem.
Yep.
Eminem has had kind of a hard life, and I think it would fit so well with his podcast.
And Gordon Ramsay, baby.
Gordon Ramsay.
Oh, yeah. there's a serious side. His mouth is for a reason. He's got beaten up as a child.
He had a rough life, too. Yeah.
And the reason he said, like, the way I am is I can't help it. I will still remember where I come from. I don't want to be my father, but
yeah,
I can't help it.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. Where do you want to have people go? Where can they find you out there on the internet? Do you have a website you want them to go to? Do you want to find the on social media?
Sure. You can find me on autismrocksandrolls.com. And then it has like all where my podcast is, all about the nonprofit, all about the business side of what we do. It has everything on there, everything you need to know about us.
Yeah. And he's on all, I think, every podcasting.
Except platform. Anchor. Anchor, no.
You're not an anchor?
No.
Okay. So yeah, that's a really good place to start though. I try to keep that updated with everything he has going on. And for our nonprofit page, you can see our board and you can see the things that Sam's done locally and nationally. So,
well, hey, thank you so much for being my guest today and talking a little bit about the gift of autism and how you've made it work for you.
Thank you. We really appreciate you.
You've been listening to The Nonprofit Architect. To listen to all our past shows, visit http://nonprofitarchitect.org. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show. Thank you.